Amen. As I was sitting there, I was thinking about, we talked about the wave. When you're in the ball game, they talked about, you know, there's a wave that goes around and you wait for your section to come. And then you stand up and you would do the wave and look at it going around. And then when it comes back your way, you stand up again. And one thing I do remember about the wave is that if a section didn't get up, you got booed. So if your section didn't get up, you were booed. And the next time it came around, you got up, then you were cheered. Amen, amen. Our scripture reading is coming from Ephesians 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Amen. If you're there, can you say amen? Just going to take a few little verses. I'll be out your way. Amen. I thank God for the opportunity to stand before you and speak his word. Amen. I don't take this lightly. It is a privilege to stand before God's people and speak a word to his people to help build you up and encourage you. Amen. Not to discourage you, but to encourage you. Amen. Reading from the King James Version. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen for the reading of God's word. Amen. You may be seated. What I want to speak to you today is really just knowing how to disarm the devil. We need to know that. I read an article that talked about how to disarm a criminal. And one of the, I didn't read all of the article, but I read just a few sentences into the article about how to disarm a criminal. And one of the things that it said that if you didn't get any training from the military or the police, please don't try this. It said, don't try this. In other words, it said, if you didn't get any professional training, don't try this. So then I thought about that in a more of a spiritual matter. Disarming the devil. If you didn't get any training in Bible study, BTU, from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit, you in trouble. Basically, that's what the article was saying. You in trouble if you try to disarm a criminal. So I'm saying to you, if you're trying to disarm the devil, you're going to need to know God's word, and it's going to need to be in your heart. Because if it ain't in your heart, you in some trouble. But I want to talk about few commands that will help us disarm the devil in our lives. The first command to disarm the devil, it says, be strong. How many know that if you're strong, you're not weak? So it says, be strong. Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and in his might, mighty power. Paul was telling the Christians that God was the source of their strength. He assured them that it wasn't their own strength, power, or might that would bring them victory. In Philippians 4 and 18, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's not our strength, but it is the strength of God. So God is strong and he wants us to be strong. And here's what I want to say to you. Everybody in here, underneath the sound of my voice, everyone will face some type of storms in your life. The question is, what would hold you during those storms? And you need to have your anchor in God. Because we all going to face some storms, whether the storms be physical, whether it be tornadoes, the floods, earthquakes, some are personal, like death, job problems, bad relationship. Storms is just a part of life. Just a part of life. The right question is not whether they will come or when, but how will we respond to them when they come? Paul was faced with a life-threatening storm. He was on his way to Rome to see Caesar, to stand trial. For 14 days, the ship was in the raging sea. Paul never panicked. See, when your anchor is in God, you don't panic. You don't panic. As the crew panicked, Paul stood and shared the anchors that held his life secure. The same anchors that kept Paul steady on his stormy seas are available to us as well today. Before the first piece of armor is put on, the heart, your heart must be strong. This is why, if you notice, I believe one of the most leading causes of death is heart disease. Okay, that's why the scripture says, let not your heart be troubled. Okay, let not your heart be troubled. So everything points towards the heart. Your heart has to be right. Okay, so you have to say, I can do nothing with my own strength, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here's what I want to say. I want to say this. You know, a soldier can have the best fitted and strongest armor. If he doesn't have heart, he will be a failure and a horrible soldier. You can have perfect attendance in Sunday school and attend every Bible class. If your heart is not fueled by the power of God, you are going down. I remember, when my youngest brother was playing ball, and I remember this one kid. I'm going to tell you, this kid, you know, when I saw him, I didn't really know my brother's team as well, but I saw this kid, and man, this guy looked good in his uniform. I mean, he was taking his little practice swing. I was like, man, this guy looked good. I said, he looked like a ball player. And he got up there to the plate. I said, oh, man, they better scoot back. I said, because this joker's getting ready to hit this. I said, this guy looks, I mean, he looks like he's ready. You know, this guy whiffed. Yeah, I'm not, you know, that's why it's not good to say names when you come up here. But I'm just saying, this guy looked good in his uniform. I mean, he looked good in his uniform. I mean, he was laced up, everything, got the batting gloves and, you know, all of that stuff going, got all the little rosin bag, you know, they do all that stuff, got all the equipment, got the little donut on the bat. I mean, this guy looks good, but he couldn't play a lick. He got up there, I mean, the ball passed him and he's swinging. Y'all must not know about baseball. You got to hit the ball when it's right here. The ball is in the catcher's mitt and he's swinging. I'm like, oh, something ain't right with this. Then he in the field. I promise you, you would have thought that he had a hole in his glove. I mean, that ball couldn't get no more in the pocket. But I'm saying that he looked good. But there was missing pieces.
He really wasn't a ball player. His heart wasn't conditioned. What do I mean by that? Oh, you really talking bad about this guy was in the outfield like this. Then when the ball is hit, it's like, hey. He look up. Oh, he chasing it. This is the way many of us are. We come dressed, look good, come fit, look like we just got done praise and worship, ain't did nothing. But we look good on Sunday morning in our three-piece suit. But we have to be strong in the Lord. God told Joshua, be strong. Can you imagine having to fill the shoes of Moses? Taking the place of a man who could speak to God through a burning bush. Cast down his rod and have it turn into a snake and retrieve it and find it a rod again. Can you imagine being the predecessor of a man that could stretch out his rod and divide the Red Sea? A man that could bring water out of a rock when the people were dying from thirst. Not only that, but Joshua now finds himself the leader of a group of people that are known to murmur and complain, backslide, and wishing that they were back in Egypt. God now looks at Joshua and says, you are the man. In other words, God said, there's yet still things to be accomplished. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt bondage and through many uncertain situations, but now there is the land of promise still to be claimed. The inhabitants of the land still must be defeated and dislodged. So how will Joshua manage to do this? What does Joshua need in order to fulfill his task? The answer Joshua needs, and the same thing as did Moses, the power to do things that Moses did and to lead as he did is upon Joshua. So he has been ordained of God to do this. And God will give Joshua what he need to fulfill this call. So God instructs Joshua 3 times. I need you to be strong. Because see, a lot of times we look at who gone before us and we look and say, well, I can't do that. See, we look at the fact that when Moses hit this rock and the water came out, Moses stretched out his rod and he divided the rest. Oh, hold up. He laid down his rod and it became a snake. And we're looking at what somebody else has done and we compare ourselves to that individual. But God is saying, I need you to be strong. I can do something much better than what they did, but I need you to be strong. It sounds easy when somebody say, be strong. You know, it's kind of like when you fall down and hurt yourself, and somebody say, that's all right, you all right, get up. Man, I'm hurting right now. Just got the wind knocked out of me. Oh, you are. You got somebody, they come and they help them picking you up. Man, let me lay here for a few minutes. The older you get, the more you want to stay down there. When you were young, you was embarrassed for people to see you down there. You just bounce back up. But as older you get, you say, hold up. I'll catch up with y'all in a minute. I'm going to be there. Yeah, y'all gone. But here's what God is saying. Be strong and courageous. Joshua needs to stand on the promises. Even though God's servant Moses is dead, gone, God's plans and promises is still the same. Nothing has changed. The God of Moses is the God of Joshua. He makes his promises and he keeps them. Y'all know as a child, you know how when you talk to your parents and you ask them something, they say that if they say the word promise, that means something to a child. You can't say that just by saying it. If you promise something to a child, that child will remember that. And when it's time to fulfill what you said, that child is going to remind you, but you promised. That's what I do to God. I say, God, you promised. Y'all know how a child holds true to the promise. When a parent tells a child that I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to get this, and you know what? That child don't have nothing else to do. They are counting down the time and the day, and they're waiting, because what they're going to remind you is you promised. You said, that's what you said. You gave me your word, and they hold on to it. God is saying, be like this child and hold on to my word. So, this is why God is saying, be strong. Must stand upon the promises of the word of God. So, if we are to accomplish what God calls us and instructs us to do, we all must stand on the promises. The problem with some of us is that we're sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. The second command that can help us disarm the devil is put on the full armor of God. This was a command. If you're playing football, if you go out there without your helmet, you ain't going to make it. You got to put on the whole equipment. So you got to put on. The third command that can help us disarm the devil is stand firm. You know, I mean, there's times, I'm going to tell you something. As you can see now, I'm not 6'7". Y'all noticed? But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter how tall you are. Doesn't matter how short you are. Stand firm. There's times I got beat up. But I stood firm. I ain't running no more. Stand firm. And this is what we have to do. You have to stand firm. You can't run all the time. Got to stand firm. Even when I was taking my son to karate, the teacher was telling another parent, the boy was being chased and wasn't fighting back. Even the teacher said, you're going to have to stop running. You're going to have to stand. Otherwise, they're going to do this every day. Every day. He said, you got to stand. So to help us disarm the devil, we got to stand firm. The entire message of the Bible can be stated in one word. The word is grace. I believe that grace is the love of God that is given to undeserving people. Jesus' death on the cross for our sins is for every person. His grace extends past salvation towards providing us his sufficiency for all of life situations. The grace of God is like concrete. If it is poured onto my feet, once it's mixed, I will stand firm in it. When I stand on the word of God and all of God's promises for my life, then I am standing firm in the grace of God. So stand firm so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, because he's coming. The scripture says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. We need to understand that. Against this dark world and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Paul told the first century believers to stand against a sneaky enemy. And that's just what he is, sneaky. So to stand firm means to hold your position. Y'all ever heard, y'all see the police where they stand their position? People shouting all kind of stuff at them, saying all kind of stuff to them, but they hold their position. You got to take it. You got to take it. What I'm saying is, you know, stand there. We need to understand something. Satan is coming. Ready? Remember that game, Ready or Not? Here I come. Ready or not? Here he comes. The devil didn't fight the first century fair. So you need to understand this is a battleground, not a playground. Forget what the enemy has said about you. The Bible tells us that the devil is a liar. Many people live bound by the lies of the devil. You know, when Satan would say something to Jesus, Jesus would have to come back to him and say, "It is written." Why? Because he's a liar. He's not going to tell you the truth. He's not going to say the right thing. So he had to come back and say, "It is written." This is what you need to say. When Satan speaks to you, you got to say, "It is written." The only way Satan can get any kind of revenge or hurt God is to hurt you. Listen to what I'm saying here. Listen to what I'm saying. You may be a strong Christian. You may be strong and can withstand anything anybody say about you or talk about you. All of the insults and everything. And another one, let me say this. I've heard a lot of short jokes. Don't bother me. But so if people can't get to me, guess who they going to try to get to? Your children. Y'all follow me? They can't touch me, so they're going to try to mess with my children and get them rattled. So what am I saying here to you? Satan can't touch God. He can't hurt God. He can't do anything to God. So what is he going to do to hurt God? He's going to try to get to his children. Mess with his children. That's how Satan is going to try to get to God. He can't touch God. He cannot cause any sort of harm. So instead, he settles for undermining your trust in God and separating you from the one who loves you much. So Satan will tell any lie in order to get you to do the wrong thing. You don't have to fall for it. The devil will take over if you let him. Jesus delegated authority to us, his name, to those who believe in him. So you must exercise the authority or the devil will wreak havoc in your life and everywhere he is allowed to. God loves you. That is reason enough for the devil to hate you. Y'all understand that? That's reason enough. That's kind of like, let's use this scenario. Let's say two guys trying to get one girl. I get the girl. Guess what? This guy hates me because I got the girl. You see what I'm saying? How quickly, I ain't did nothing to him. Yet. But I ain't did nothing to him. But the guy hates me because I got the girl. Satan. Same way. Very, very devious. Devious. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil that is going on. So let me say this to you. We are not fighting against humans. Now, I understand that we see an individual. I can't argue that. But you are fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. So we cannot focus on this individual. For it is not really the individual. It is this individual that has allowed his body to be used by a demonic force. You understand what I'm saying? It's no different than me allowing my body to be used by the power of God to do good. So let me get you to understand something here. With Satan, demonic powers, they are numerous. So you got to preach on this stuff because it's real. If it wasn't real, I wouldn't be preaching on it. This stuff is real. They are numerous. They are principalities and powers.
They are rulers. They are authorities. They are these different expressions describe the many different ranks and categories of evil spirit beings. For example, let me say this. I like saying this part. Many of you didn't even know me until now. But it didn't mean that I didn't exist. You just didn't know me. But now that you know me, you know that I exist. So you have to understand something. Just because you don't understand or you don't know don't mean it don't exist. You follow me? I can go in a room. My wife can tell me, go in that room and the pencil is such and such. I can go in that room and I'm going to tell you, I won't find that pencil. No, I'm just being real with you. She can say, well, it's in the refrigerator. I can go in the refrigerator. I'm going to look like. And if I don't see it, to my knowledge, it ain't in there. And to her knowledge, it is in there. You just haven't found it. So what do you need? You need somebody to come and show you where it is. So she will come, open up the refrigerator, move it back. Here it is, right here. So you need a preacher to stand before you, to tell you that the devil is real, but you can't disarm him with the word of God. Let me show you. You got to believe this morning. He is a defeated foe. God has all power in his hands. So he can tell you how to defeat him. So Satan, understand this. They are powerful. Don't make that, don't get that twisted. And let me say this, and I got to be real with you. Don't think of Satan as Casper the Friendly Ghost. No, he is not Casper the Friendly Ghost playing tricks on you. Demons are real and they are not on your side. They are spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. They are wicked. They follow no moral code. They live only to do the devil's work. They are opposed to all that is good and holy and right. Listen to this. They are clever. Paul speaks of schemes and plans. Do not be deceived into thinking the demons are stupid. They are not stupid. They are morally corrupt, but as spirit beings, they possess enormous talent, intelligence, like spies working for some lethal enemy. The demons know the weak spots in an army. I have to just put it to you. If you ever played any type of sport or you done anything, if you had an opponent, you know that opponent's weakness. In other words, if you know that the right fielder don't have an arm, that's where that ball is going. If you know that somebody is a little weak, what they say, that ball will find you on the field. If you can't, you know how you used to pick teams and you used to have a co-ed team and you'd be like, hit it to the girl. I'm just going to be real with you. They say, hit it to the girl. You hit it to the girl, you're going to get on base. So you find the girl. That's where you hit the ball to. Oh, come on now. I'm preaching now. Y'all encourage me. I need some encouragement this morning to preach this message. Thank you, deacons. But I'm going to tell you something. Satan will find you. We need to understand something. This battle is not against humans. We do not struggle against flesh and blood. Sometimes we focus on the abortionists, the pornographers, the godly politicians, the corrupt business leaders, the drug dealers, as if they were the source of the problem. Those people are basically being used by spiritual forces that they really know nothing about. Understand what I'm saying? They are morally, they're responsible for their choices. But they have to, you have to understand something. Satan is very clever in how he do things. Let me give you a good example. Let's say a girl meets boy. Boy got this facade going that he's all of this. You know, talking about he got money to do this, pay your bills, all this type of stuff. And you're looking at his car and car got rims on it and whatever, decked out, driving it, looking good and all that type of stuff. Got a nice clothes on. Let me tell you something. He ain't got no money. He wearing it. And you're looking at it. That's all the money he got. But you can't see past that. And then when you get him, this is a no good dog, man. He don't even do this and do that. I could have told you that when he pulled up in that car. And when he saw him dressed like that. In other words, what I'm saying is it's a front. But see, the problem with us is that we don't look past the front. It's like you go to the hospital, you see people walking down the hall, you got that gown on. Hey, behind them, don't look back. It's a front, but the back is out. Exposed. The Bible teaches us that there are various kinds of demonic powers. The word rulers doesn't refer to mayors or governors or president. So it's not about Obama, Osama bin Laden, or Bush, or Putin. It's not about people you work with, or your boss on a bad day, or anyone else who gets under your skin. On those days when people treat you badly, you may feel like they are the enemy. But they're not. I'm going to tell you, as a preacher, I do too. That's why you just get thee behind me, Satan. You got to speak that. See, you ain't call their name. You said, get thee behind me. That's what Jesus told, what he tell them? Get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus knew that he wasn't fighting with Peter, but he was fighting with a demonic force. These verses explain why we must put on the whole armor of God. Our godly character actually does make a difference. Does make a difference. Not only for us, but also in the great struggle between good and evil. We are foot soldiers. Foot soldiers. In an invisible war that's going on. Our godly character really does matter. It matters in our struggle with principalities and powers. It matters in our Christian walk. It matters greatly to the watching in this world. Life is a struggle, and that will continue till the day we die. There is no release from the battle. If we go AWOL, we simply find a bigger battle on the other side of the hill. So what is Satan trying to do in your life? He wants to frustrate God's plan for you. He wants to get you off track. I was talking to a cousin yesterday that, you know, Satan will do everything he can to get you off track with God. Your divine purpose. Make something look good, and it ain't. So how does Satan attack us? He attacks us when we least expect it. Rarely does he approach us with an invitation to do evil. After all,
Listen, y'all know how, have you all ever been to a conference or you've been to some type of meeting and you have to have your name tag on? And you go up and when people walk up to you or you walk up to people, you notice that they have a name tag on, right? So you go up to this person, you go, hey, hi, my name is such and such. I'm with blah, blah, blah. You know, you saying all that, you know. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is that, you know, Satan is not going to walk up to you and say, hello, my name is Satan. With a name tag on. He ain't gonna come up to you and say, my name is Satan. I'm getting ready to get you to do something dirty. I represent the forces of dirty and evil. The forces of no good. I'ma make you do something stupid. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? He is not gonna walk up to you and introduce himself to you. If he say to you, who he is, you would say, dude, get lost. Get up out of here. If he comes up to you and introduces himself to you. But that's not the way he comes up to you. His name tag is not showing. He comes up to you various ways. Could be any kind of way. I'm going to even go there. It could be somebody in your family. That you don't think, oh, no, y'all ever heard people, oh, no, he just wouldn't do that. No, that's just not like him. Has Jesus came back yet? Oh, okay, well, then it's like him. Satan got into him. Just like when Jesus saw Satan enter into Judas. And he said, do what you're going to do and do it quickly. Y'all follow me? So Satan enters into people. And it gets us to do things that we shouldn't do. We need to understand that Satan will come and he will convince us to do things that we shouldn't do. See, one of the greatest tools that I believe that Satan uses is discouragement. If he can't get us to lust, if he can't trap us with anger, if he can't introduce us to dishonesty, if he can't lure us into profanity, if he can't lead us into compromise, if all those things don't work, he still has the tool of discouragement. That often works against us when nothing else will. We see a lot of people that just discouraged. We're down. Because Satan knows that this works. This is why the Bible said, finally, brothers, Paul said, be strong. Even God said to Joshua, be strong 3 times. We need to be strong. We are going to get discouraged. This is why it's important for us as believers to help one another, to say a word of encouragement. If you notice, after I'm done preaching, I dismiss. You want to know why? Because if I let anything else happen after I'm done preaching, somebody going to come up here and say something they ain't got no business saying. That's just the way it is. Somebody gonna get up and say, y'all know, y'all shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. All that carrying on and on and on. No. After the word is preached, there's nothing else to be said. But go ye therefore. You understand what I'm saying? That's why it's fresh in your mind. Because some people don't retain stuff. So you need people to retain it. That's why I dismiss it. To play the song and we gone. I ain't trying to water down service or rush y'all out of here. I'm saying the word of God has been preached, has been taught. We don't need fluff after that. I've seen too many services after that. You get the announcement clerk to come up. An announcement clerk will start some mess. Say stuff and you be like, that ain't on the paper. Read what's on the paper. They get up there and they say all kind of stuff. Then next thing you know, somebody else want to make an announcement. Did you give it to the announcement clerk? Then shut up. Y'all have to understand, this is real. This is how Satan works in the house of prayer. I'm not just up here talking. I'm telling you how he works. Now, all of a sudden, y'all done heard a good message. You had a good word. You done praise God and thank him to the highest. And all of a sudden, you see this mess up here. Now, what is your last impression? Did you hear that announcement? Clergy's going to get up there and going to say that mess. And then somebody else got to have an announcement. They could have gave that to the announcement. No, maybe they shouldn't have gave that to her, because she would have said something. This is what I'm talking about. This is why when God is done, dismiss. Go home. Therefore, put on the full armor. In other words, everything that God has given you, put it all on. Don't leave nothing off. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand some more. You know, the command put on is like a military term. It's the last step you take before you go into battle. You putting on. You hear people say, gird up, let's go. In other words, we get ready to go into battle. It's like cleaning your rifle, checking your ammo, putting on your flat jacket, and grabbing your helmet. Take up your armor, Christians, because all hell is soon to break loose. The devil, the day of evil, refers to those moments of special temptations we face. Not every day is evil. Not every day is evil. But what Paul is saying is the term, he's basically saying that we feel great pressure from the enemy. Some people have faced several evil days this week. You never know in advance when one is coming your way. Hate to hear bad news, but you don't know when it's coming. And after you have done everything to stand some more. We need to understand this, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Resist the devil and he will flee. We can overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, the testimony. When you know who your enemy is, you will not take him lightly. When you take up God's armor, you are ready to enter the battle. When you fight in God's strength, you will not be defeated. You cannot live on the strength of yesterday, because your enemy comes against you again and again. Let me say this. If you struck me out with that curveball this time, the next time I come, Uncle Charlie ain't going to get me. If y'all know what I'm talking about, that's a baseball term. That curveball ain't going to get me. Because the next time, I'm going to be waiting on it. Because I saw how it breaks. And when it breaks, my bat is going to be on it. Y'all understand me? So what yesterday is yesterday. Today, the enemy can have a new strategy. Let me say this to you. What may get you may not get me. We need to understand that. The temptation that I may fall into, it may not have no effect on you at all. Let me say this. You can set a liquor bottle up here, it won't do nothing to me. You can set it up there, but some people be like, hey, if you ain't gonna do nothing with it, I'll take it off your hand. Ain't no sense of letting it go to waste. It ain't expired. No, it's still good. It says it gets better with age. I'm talking like I drink, don't I? Just mess with you. But temptation bothers some. And some it don't bother. But if you put something else up there, say what? Next thing you know, you don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? You can't, if it's staring you in the face, you ain't going to be able to keep passing it up. So what I'm saying is, Satan comes at different ways. He comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But the Lord said, I come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. The Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. So there is no need for any Christians to live in fear of the devil. Yes, the devil is real. He is powerful. He is wicked. He is clever. But he's also defeated. He's also defeated. Calvary dealt a blow to the devil and his legions of demons. At the cross, Satan thought he had defeated Jesus, but he only bruised his heel. Instead, it was Satan who was defeated when Jesus crushed his head. Calvary dealt a blow to the devil and his legions of demons. The cross mortally wounded the enemies of our souls. Someday he will be cast into the lake of fire. Between now and then, Satan fights on, defeated, but not destroyed, using every weapon in his arsenal to convince us he has power to overcome us. But we need to say this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mordecai had to convince Esther that she had a divine appointment from God himself. Her attitude was, I cannot do it. I had to tell my son, my wife and I tell my son, yes, you can. Yes, you can. We trying to tell him, stop saying you can't. Start saying you can. So Mordecai had to tell her, you can. So Esther knew, as I'm finishing, Esther knew the decree of the king that said no one, not even the queen, was allowed to go before the king's throne uninvited. But there's a but. She had a divine invitation, and a divine appointment overrides human government. The call and purpose of God's override the laws of man. The disciples knew that when the magistrates, who were the law of the land, said, you cannot preach anymore in the name of Jesus, that the divine call of God overrides the law of men. They said it is better to obey God than man. So we need to understand. Mordecai said, in essence, I know what the decree of the king, what the king says, but you have been called by a higher king to stand between your people and their end. As long as she felt like she could not do it, her people were in danger of being destroyed. It was only when she was confident that she could do it, her people were spared. When you think you can't, it will propel you to do what you think you can. If you don't think you can, chances are you never will. If you don't think you have victory, it is likely that you never will. If you think you would never be set free, chances are you won't be set free. But if you ever get to thinking that I think I can attitude, you will be propelled into that which you think you can. So you need to say to yourself, I think I can. Attitude will cause you to try every, even though reasons and circumstances say it's not possible. So what I want you to leave here today is saying that I know I can. I believe I can. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to get an attitude. In other words, get your spiritual game face on. You ain't mad at nobody. You just mad at the devil. And you let him know that he ain't going to do nothing to me. That I'm getting my house in order. I'm getting my business straight with the Lord. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Satan, your schemes is not going to work on me today. Not anymore. Because I'm a new creature in Christ. God has given me a new beginning today. So you need to believe that. And if you don't believe that, it ain't going to happen. But if you walk out of here believing that it will happen for you. Amen.